Talk about the snagdus of the Umays. The snagdus of the Umays to Klal Yisrael. So Bavel, they oppose Klal Yisrael in one way. Because I'll say they oppose Klal Yisrael, the tikkun nefesh. The Klal Yisrael is a nefesh, and the nefesh, when it messes up, is a way of being misakonim. Being a carbon, being good at Beis HaMikdash. So they don't want Klal Yisrael to rise above them like that, you know. Once you're doing a very, you mess up, it's eternal damnation. It's called, like the Christians have this thing called eternal damnation. They believe in that. They believe that there's no tikkun nefesh. That comes from, that's the Sherish above all. Remember my physics teacher in Tal Yeshiva High School said that there was years that I think if you ate, I don't know if you ate meat on Fridays or something, so then you're doomed to eternal damnation. And so then they had like this papal conference or convocation, and they decided that they're going to revoke that. He said, what about all those people that are eternally doomed? They let them out, you know? You know, eternal is eternal. Yeah. But yeah, so above all, that's above the story of the Beis HaMikdash. So there's different snagdus. And Yavan was misnagged to the seichel of Klal Yisrael, because Yavan, to them, the highest entity worthy of worship is the mind, is the seichel, and they weren't capable of embracing the Tarek Desha. The Maharal says the reason why weren't they capable of it? Because the guy. It's deeper than that. I mean, that is the answer, but it's deeper than that. There's different chiburim. There's different ways of chibur, of connecting with the Torah. One is to connect with the Torah intellectually. There's one of the ways. But the Torah is given on many levels, and we're meant to be mechaber ourselves to the Torah on all the levels. So there's a chelik ha-machshava, there's a chelik ha-dibur, there's a chelik ha-maisa, that v'dibar tabam, v'lay b'dvarim b'teilem, that's a chibur with the Torah, there a dibur. All the mitzvahs that are tali in emuna, so it's been mechaber derech leiv and machshava. And then there's mitzvahs maisius in the Torah. There's mitzvahs of machshava, there's mitzvahs of dibur, there's mitzvahs maisius. The Torah says go do something. And the Yavanim, they didn't care for that. They want to be mechaber only with seichel. Be it seichel atayra or seichel that's in the chachmas in the velt, it's in the oilam. There's no such thing. I mean, this the Bala Kuzari says that in the Ivana in the Greek belief system, there's no such thing as a wrong action or a right action. Something that's intrinsically wrong or right, because they don't care about actions. There are certain actions which they'll embrace, and certain actions which they'll reject. The ones that they embrace are the ones that bring them closer to seichel, and the ones they'll reject are the actions that push them away from seichel. So to them, an action is just a means to an end. You have to go to the store to buy a book, or you have to click on Amazon.com to order a book. So that's an action, but the whole purpose of the action is in order to get to the seichel. And it doesn't matter what kind of seichel, any form of intellect is something to be embraced. So there's no such thing as a wrong action or a right action. If you have to steal somebody's book, that's a mitzvah. A cop, you know.
Yeah, but destroying the book.
Destroying a book is an avera, because destroying a book or killing a philosopher would be wrong.
That's inherently wrong, though.
It's not inherently wrong. It's not inherent.
It is.
It's not inherent.
If your goal is no, it's
the
and
the loss of seichel is inherently wrong. The destruction of a book is just not inherently wrong. It's only wrong because of what you're destroying. if you could destroy somebody's book, and the information wouldn't be lost, there wouldn't be anything wrong, even though you're being mafsid and mammon. And this is, you know, so Mela, the Maral says that if someone wants to embrace the Torah, and they have tnayim, they have conditions, they're placing a limit on themselves, on the oif and achibur, that I will embrace the Torah only so much. I'll embrace the Torah only as far as it makes me wiser than I was before. But anything else, I'm not willing to embrace, I'm not willing to accept. So such a person is putting a mechitza, is putting a chatzitza between himself and the Torah. This much and no more. It's like you hug somebody, you put a pillow in between you so that you're only embracing him by putting your arms around his shoulder blades in the back. But everything else, you know, is a... So you see, the Torah doesn't allow for that. The Torah does not give its secrets over to anyone that's not willing to take the whole package. Torah doesn't do friendships. It doesn't do friends. It doesn't do associations, affiliations. But Torah, it's all or nothing. It has to be all-consuming passion. And without it, you get nothing. And this is true about Yevanim, and it's also true. It's also true for us.
What about it's all or nothing?
That means that the only way that someone's going to be zeichet to chokmas Torah, that the solutions that he comes up with when he learns will be what God intended for us to understand. For the Torah to release its wisdom is only with the dedication, with an all-consuming dedication. That this is what I want. It's the only thing I want. I'm willing to give everything in order to get it. And then the person will get pshat in sugya. He'll get pshat. He'll get the Bayashan's pshat. He'll get the emes pshat. And that's wisdom. But if someone he likes Torah. He also likes pistachio ice cream. If you offer him a choice between the charusa with you or pistachio ice cream, he'll think about it. There's a famous comedian, Jack Benny. He had this famous skit that he was held up by a robber, an armed robber. He says, "Your money or your wife?" And no answer. Come on, your money or your wife? I'm thinking. Someone has two allegiances. The Torah says, you know, get your act together, decide whether you want me, and then come back. Until then, you get nothing. You get nothing. I mean, if you learn, if not you, I mean, I'm talking about you. You guys are members. You budding Talmid guys. How can I call you guys? I hate that. You budding Talmid Chachamim. So this is something, you know, you gave up so much in order to be in yeshiva the past 3 years. It's like, it's amazing. I'm serious nefesh. What you gave up. And you're yechidim. You're taki yechidim. So that's why you have such siyat d'shmaya. Yeah. But that's what you're talking about before, that the Gemara says in Shabbos, Lamas Me'ilim, Basama D'Maisa, if somebody learns Torah with his left hand, the Gemara's talking about already. Someone learns Torah with his left hand. So what's meant us to learn Torah with the left hand? You learn Torah with your weaker arm. My right arm I use for things that I consider more important. And I reserve my left hand for Torah learning, because I have, you know, I like Torah, I want to work on it, but I don't give all my strength. Sama de mice, it's poison. Because that Torah is not the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing. There's a layer in the Torah. There's a layer in the Torah for people that don't work hard. Hashem puts a layer on it, that if you don't work hard, you're going to see this pshat. If you work hard, you're going to realize, oh, that's not the pshat, you go deeper. There is a layer, it's a false bread trail, it's a false thing. So that layer is poison. That's not Torah Semes. The conclusions, Pasha, the conclusions that a person will come up with when he learns Torah without working hard are damaging to him. It's something which is nearer l'chush. Nearly naim. The people that they learn Torah with on a melis, their Torah is damaging. It's not just poisonous to them, it's poisonous to other people. They can kill people with Torah that they're kind of without, not that they're kind of, with Torah that they learn without a melech, the whole congregation. Yeah, you listen to any sermon of someone that wasn't an Amal B'Torah. Someone that doesn't have covenant Torah, someone that doesn't have an Erech for what Torah is. Torah is homiletics. It's poison. So the Yevanim, they weren't willing, you know, it's from the Morales Mashiv, if they were willing to embrace the whole Torah, then they would have gotten the Chacham Satara. Now, would they have to be Megayer? Not necessarily, you know. There's conflicting chazals about Gayim learning Torah.
Can they
cheat? What?
They can only achieve so much.
No? Right, they can only achieve, but they might have had a Shaka to Chacham Satara. I don't know, it's not Pashut. Because you're talking about the Chatzitza, that they're not willing to be Mekabel the Maisim, and unless they're Megaya, then they don't have the Maisim of the Torah, they only have the Zion Mitzvahs. On the other hand, the Zion Mitzvahs are in the Torah.
We're talking about this with Ha'ish.
Yes, Ha'ish. The idea. So that's how the Maral explains this. And he says that that's why they were so jealous, that they ain't caught, you know. There's nothing. A Ben Umnis. Some hardware salesman is going to be jealous of his competitor that has better hardware than him. So to them, more than any other nation, they oppose Klal Yisrael's wisdom because that's what places Klal Yisrael above them and makes them irrelevant. And nobody likes to feel irrelevant. And they made a gzera, so let's go on, okay? V'za'amr v'medrish, v'shem ha'nar shlishi chidakal. The four naharas and brashas are parallels to the four umais. So the third river is a parallel to the third nation. Third river is chidakal, which is the Diglas, Tigris. The Tigris River. Tyson brings down the Diglas and off of him and Aleph. That's what separates between two cities, the Samak Zelazah. Between Adashar and Aktisfun. The Diglas separates between those two cities. Adashar and Aktisfun. It's a funny nectar from Adashar Taktisfun. The Diglas. This river separates between the two. It's a Chidakel zu Yavon. Why is it called Chidakel? Chidakel is a composite word. Chad and Kal. Chad means sharp. It's abrasive. And Kal is swift. What? Chad is sharp. Yeah, like Echad. Because Echad is, it's down to one single point. It's very sharp. Chad and Kal. The Gzeres El Yisrael, they're the Gzeres are swift and sharp. They cut. They're swift. They're like a scimitar, you know, slices through. Vaimelahem Kiswa Keren Asher, right on the horn of an ox. She'ain li Yisrael chelek, the Yisrael has no chelek, v'lekei Yisrael, the God of Israel. They should write on their oxen, their own oxen, that Yisrael has no portion in the God of Israel. Ki malchus shlishis ha'meretz Yisrael kisva kena shar dafka. They're trying to separate, make a separation between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're trying to do it Dafka through a Keren Ashor, the Keren Ashor that represents the Chet Eagle. You have an eagle. You have an eagle? Yes. You have an eagle? Yeah. Remember what you Bnei Yisrael did with the eagle, and by doing that, you made a rift between you and God. And where did they do it? They did it. Where were they camped when they did it? Where did Bnei Yisrael camp when they worshipped the eagle? What was the location? I see that. So that means that, you know, you claim that you have this special relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that nobody else has, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu imparted from his wisdom to you, and only to you, and HaSinai, and you have a Chachma, and we don't have it.
At that point,
you threw it away. You worship the eagle. You have no chelik b'elokei Yisrael. You don't have a special connection with God. You don't have access to his Chachma. Just like we don't. We don't have it, neither do you.
No, I'm not.
So why don't we have it? Because we can't embrace the chelik HaMaisa. Because, you know, we only want the chelik of Chachma, and we don't have the chelik of Maisa, because we're not willing to embrace the mitzvahs. And what about you? The worshipping the eagle, that's called embracing the mitzvahs? Doesn't it say that you're not supposed to do that? Yes, very, very harsh. Chad and Kal, you got it. Very harsh, devastating. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, that's Lashkicham Teresecha. You know, we say in Al Nisim, Lashkicham Teresecha, that the Gzeiros were designed to make us forget Torah. That's a Pelotza. We'll start on this tonight. I don't know if we're going to finish this. But how could you make a Gzeiros to make somebody forget something? You can give someone a potion to make them forget something. You can give them a lobotomy to find out where the memory centers are in the brain, the nerve patterns. Well, how do you make a decree? We hereby decree that you should forget this. Good luck. What does Lashkicham Teresecha mean? Lashkicham Teresecha means to frame the relationship, to format the relationship, to make the Jews believe in a relationship that they don't have a connection with the one that gave them the Torah. Once you convince the Jews of that, then Ramela, they won't have a connection. If they don't have a connection, then any Torah they have goes bye-bye. So Lashkicham doesn't really mean to make them forget. Lashkicham means to put the Torah in the realm of something that could be forgotten. You know, my Rabbi Gifter, he said this. I mean, I didn't hear this from him directly, although I saw it. I mean, I saw it, but I never heard these words from him directly. I read it in a book. His hasmada was Lemaifis, when he learned nothing else existed. And there's kama v'kama maisim, some I saw and some I heard, but when he learned, the world didn't exist. I heard when the yeshiva was here in Eretz Yisrael, he had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years in Telstone. And, there, you know, Telstone was it was in the makings. It was the construction, there was a mountain. And they were blasting away parts of the mountain and building things. And there were a few apartment buildings, and he moved in. The yeshiva was in a derail, you know. The Beis Medrash, he never even moved the yeshiva to Beis Medrash. It was never finished. It still hasn't been finished. I mean, the Beit Zion was there. In the unfinished Tells building. They put up some walls there. It's an unfinished Tells building. But during Shir, I heard this from my chaver who was there at the time. He said during Shir, he'd given Shir, and there was a construction crew nearby that they were blasting away with dynamite. There was explosions. Kaboom. And he said, not only did it not cause him to interrupt the Shir, he kept saying the Shir without interruption. Without pausing. But if you'd ask him afterwards, what did he think about the explosions, he would say, what explosions? He wasn't there. His connection with the Torah was inseparable. There was nothing that could pull him away. This is, you know, and his mind, you know, even when he wasn't learning the Beis Medrash, in front with the Gemara in front of him, with his Chavrusa, his mind was constantly occupied with the Torah. That's what he went down to. His mind was, you know, he walked around. You know, we think about all kinds of things. Would anybody want to know what, would anyone want revealed to the general public what we think about, you know, when we have nothing better to think about, you know, we're not focusing on something? I don't think any of us would want to subject ourselves to that kind of introspection and invasion. His mind was davar k'tayra, and he used to demand it from us. There was one thing which he didn't like. It's a Madanisha thing. He didn't like is that the people that they, when they have like a couple of minutes free, all of a sudden they grab a sefer and they start chuckling wearing the sefer, you know, and they learn like Ramesh a tremendous asmata for the 1 or 2 minutes that they have. He didn't like it. He said, don't you have anything to think about? You're not in the basement, Madrash. You're not learning. You're not shuckling with your chavrusa. So why are you doing that? He held it was false. There's something false about it. There's something that schmecks from it, you know. It's too chitonious. It's too ostentatious. You should sit down and think and learn it. What's wrong with thinking and learning? You have a couple of minutes. You can think. He trained us how to do two things at the same time. He trained us. He told us what to do. That you could be doing mundane tasks. And at the same time you're doing mundane tasks, it's not built on Torah because you could be thinking in a tesis while you're doing it. He trained us to do two things at once. I asked him, you know. I once asked him, there was a tzkufa that he wasn't strong, so instead of giving shir from 12 to 1:30, so he wasn't strong enough until later in the day, so he started giving it at the end of second seder. He'd give it at like 6 o'clock till 7, I don't know, maybe 6 to 7. And he didn't look at a clock, so, you know, he started exactly on time. He was extremely punctual. But once he's in shiur, so if he'd look at a clock, he'd know when to stop. But what's a clock when you're doing shiur? So we'd go over time, and we'd miss Musa Seder. Now, to tell you the truth, I mean, I could say it about myself. I could say it about the others, because I'm not telling you the names. But none of us really cared that we were missing Musa Seder. We wanted to hear his shiur. And to us, going to a gift of shiur, and, you know, it was that was musar enough for us. We weren't terribly disturbed that we were missing Musa Seder. But the powers that be decided it's a problem. So he started giving shiur 15 minutes earlier. It didn't make a difference. We still missed Musa Seder because it didn't matter. And he started even earlier. We started getting shiur maybe 5:15, 5:30, and Seder was 3:30. Second Seder, 3:30 to 5:20. You know, second Seder was chipped away. So we liked it better when he was giving it at 6. So I asked him. I said, Rabbi, you know, our second Seder is getting it's getting shorter and shorter. We have to do a certain amount. I mean, maybe the Shiva could go back to giving it at 6. He said, what do you mean? You have from 3 o'clock till 5:30, 2.5 hours. That's enough time to do an Amud Mashi Taisus. Huh? Okay. Yeah. And I said, Rabbi, the Seder starts at 3:30. He said, what do you mean, it starts at 3? I said, put a kail, it starts at 3:30. So he said, that's something I never understood. He said, what, just because you're married means you have to start Seder half an hour later? What difference does it make? You're from, you know, 1:30 to 3, you do whatever you got to do during lunchtime. And you think that I don't know that you know, what a married man, that he has duties and he has responsibilities? He said, I, as far as that's concerned, I'm still a Kalyan Gaman. You think I don't top my wife out during lunchtime, you know? And then you could still be there at 3 o'clock. I was sitting there thinking, if he wants to stay there at 3 o'clock for the Kalyan, why doesn't he just change it? He's the Rosh Hashiva. But it doesn't work that way. At least not. And he's telling me, he says, you walk by a sink full of dishes. They don't get washed by themselves. You think there's some kind of machine that they wash by itself. Your wife works hard. You can't be oblivious. They're there. Some people, they walk by, they don't even know. The dishes, I didn't see any dishes. What are dishes? He says, you do the dishes. And I do the dishes. And he was in the 70s when he was telling me this. He said, well, you think it's Bittul Torah? It's not Bittul Torah. While I'm doing the dishes, I'm thinking in a Taisus, I'm thinking in a Rashba. So I asked him, I said, how good did the dishes get washed if she was thinking in a Rashba? He said, what do you mean? You take the Brillo? You know what Brillo is. Everyone here knows what Brillo is? You know what Brillo is? It's a soap pad with steel wool. And you grubs a chayst the taisvis. You know what grubs a chayst? You can figure it. You know what grubs a chayst means the same way I do, just by the way with the hand motion. You got some grubs a chayst. You grubs a chayst the taisvis. That's a maid. Dreikus Matera. Dreikus Matera. He enjoyed doing the dishes. It didn't cause him any... Grubs okay, no, it comes out better because your mamma's grubs in ice to taste it, so mamma's comes out good.
I didn't understand what grim size means.
Grubs okay. Grada, I said just, you know, I asked the Robinson. That was a royal pain. I was very much into asking things and getting the whole story and checking up. It was such a nudge. I asked the Robinson. I asked him tremendous derachares, but I still asked. I used to think it over so many times, what words I could use that I could say that you won't be a pgia, you won't be a lack of dark arts. How do I say it in a way that's mamish, you know? But I had to ask. I used to ask. First of all, it was easier to ask him because of all those receivers, I could ask him in English. So at least I was confident that I would ask it the right way because I know the nuances of the language. But to ask things in Yiddish, him, it was very easy. At least it was the mamalushin. And I asked the Robinson, I said, does receiver do the dishes? Oh, yes, he does the dishes. I always tell him not to do the dishes. He doesn't listen to me. And then it comes, he sees it, and he does it. And I said, he doesn't have to do the dishes. I could do the dishes. And she said, then he doesn't have to do it all over again because he's fatrachted learning when he does it. He's thinking of learning when he does it, so she has to do the dishes over again. So someone once asked him, He learned Torah like with desperation. Like someone that's starving for air or for what is it. He learned with such a time, with such a desperation. He didn't take a breath. This time, that's the way he learned. He said one word after another. He never paused to breathe. He had such a powerful set of lungs. He just, even when he diving for the Amrit, it took a lot less time. He didn't necessarily say the words faster. There's just enough spaces in between the words. It's something powerful. They asked him why is he learning that? He learned, and his memory was iron. You know, what the things he to recall. He didn't have to recall. It was like there, like so sharp. He said because he doesn't know how long he's going to live, and nobody knows how long we're going to be here. And this is the only, in this world, this is the only existence that we know that you could have a Melech B'Torah. After you leave this world, there's no more Melech B'Torah. You work hard, and you kind it, and it's yours, and you did it, and it's your simcha, it's your accomplishment. It doesn't matter if you get scarred for everything. There's no more accomplishments. And he doesn't know. So he learns, every single Gemara he learns, like it could be his last one. That's what he said. But I didn't hear this from this I read. This... Keta, this paragraph. So what does that tell you? That means to him, the way he perceives Torah, it's something which is not forgettable. So that's why he doesn't forget. Something, the unforgettable doesn't get forgotten. Lashkichon Torasecha? You can't make a decree, you decree that someone should forget something. The decree was to write al Keren Asher She'en Lechem Chelek Melekei Yisrael, that you and the Torah, you're not one. You could take a vacation from it. It's nice. You learn it, and then you're okay. Then you close the book, and you walk away, and you see it, you know. You see it next week. You could take off. You don't have to learn for Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and all the days we take off on learning. And then you get back into learning. Very nice guy. You're tamachachim, you're masvah and everything, but you take a break from it. So the minute you do that, so that Torah is something which could be forgotten. That's lashkikam Torah. Remela, once the way you view Torah is something which I can remember it, I can forget it, either way is good, either way is possible. I'd rather remember it. So then it becomes forgotten. They wanted to create a wedge between the B'nai Yisrael and the Torah. That's possible to disease it, and then there's Torah. The two things are two separate things that happen to like each other, but it's... Your roommate, you're not married to your... I told you, you're not married to your roommate. You can always change rooms. You have a different roommate. It's nice. You have... Yeah, well, yeah, relationship with the Torah. I have a nice relationship with the Torah. We get together with each other a few times a week when we have a beer with each other. It's nice, you know. But me and the Torah are the same. That without the Torah, I don't exist. That's the Yavon. Moshkikim Torah Secha. And why did they do it? Because they couldn't bring themselves to a total relationship with the Torah. Therefore, they couldn't have the Chelek HaChachma, and therefore they couldn't tolerate that they wouldn't have it and Klal Yisrael would have it, because that makes them irrelevant. That's the Hakdama to the Shtickle. Okay, we'll stop here.
Wow. So can I ask you another question?